women study God's word? This is a topic God kind of put on my heart this summer as I was looking through different workshops and Bible study options. My husband and I are involved in our youth group at church, so I was kind of thinking through options for our youth group. And God's kind of brought a couple different studies to my mind. Things that have been shown to me, things I've done personally. And I was like, man, I would love to share these different resources with people. And so kind of came up with a lesson plan. I've shared some of this with my church friends, and we get to do it again today. But when we think about Bible study, it sounds so simple, right? Read your Bible. But yet, there's a lot of hurdles. There's a lot of things that make it hard to study our Bible. And then sometimes we even study our Bible, but our brain's not engaged, and we're having a hard time putting it together, right? It's like, okay, I read today. I heard the guy need sleep last night. So there's lots of things that can come into hurdles when it comes to studying God's word. But my goal today is just to really encourage you, as women, we can be knowledgeable and understanding of God's word. We have that ability. God wants us to understand his word. And through that, it's going to affect our life. So we're going to talk through some of that. And at the very end, I have four different resources that I want to share with you. They're all on the table there, so we'll kind of hand them out when we get to that part. But there's kind of four different methods of Bible study. We're all different, right? We all learn differently. Some of us are visual. Some of us like to read. Some of us like a checkoff list every day. So I'm just kind of going to give you tools. And some of these, you might be like, this isn't for me, but I could give this to my friend. Or you know what? I like this. I'm going to try it in a couple months after I finish up what I'm doing. I just want to give you options to continue to help you study God's word. So let's pray, and then we'll jump into this study. Lord, thank you just for this time. Thank you for these ladies. I'm just blessed to have them here with us, Lord. And I just pray for this next 45 minutes, Lord, that we can look at our lives, Lord, ask the questions of, is there an area that I can do better in studying God's word? And knowing that God wants us to get to know him. He wants us to understand his word and to grow and to mature in our walk with him. Bless this time together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Okay, I want to start off by saying this, as I'm speaking, as I'm talking, this session is for a believer, for somebody who already has a relationship with God. So if you're here and you're searching and you're like, you know what, I'm not a follower of Christ, I'm trying to figure that out, continue to read God's word, right? That's where you're going to find the answers. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And Romans 10:17 says, so faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. So if you're searching, if you're looking for answers, God's word is where you're going to find it. Ask those questions. Talk to me. Talk to the ladies in your church. And that's where you're going to find the truth. So I would encourage you to continue to read God's word. Okay, I'm going to share four reasons that we as women need to study your Bible. There are more than four reasons. There's lots of reasons. So I just kind of had to consolidate it down because I knew we couldn't spend all day here in this workshop. So I'm going to give you four reasons why we as ladies, as women, should study God's word. The first one is we should study God's word because we are commanded in the Bible to study God's word. God's word tells us you need to study God's word. 2 Timothy 2:15 says, be diligent, which means study, to present yourself approved to God as a worker who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. He's saying study it, understand it, so that way you can accurately answer questions. You can say this is what the Bible says. We're supposed to study God's word. 1 Peter 2:2 says, like newborn infants, long for the pure spiritual milk, that by it you may grow up into salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Saying, come, study, taste, understand. I have two babies. They're 6 and 4 now, but I nurse both of them, and babies love milk, right? That's what they want. They desire. That's all they do for the first few months of their life is they just eat. And we need to desire God's word. We need to understand, I need this. I need to be a part of this study and understanding it. Taste and see that the Lord is good. Second point, why should I study God's word? Because God wants us to know him. Because God, our Savior, our Creator, he actually wants us to know him. Deuteronomy 4:29 says, but if from thence thou seek the Lord thy God, thou shalt find him, if thou seek him with all thy heart and with all thy soul. It's not a game of hide and seek. God's not trying to make it hard for us to understand who he is and what his desire is for our life. He says, if you look for me, you're going to find me. Colossians 1:10, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. He wants us to increase in the knowledge of him, to understand who he is, so that we can walk a worthy walk. And James 4, the first reference in that one was Deuteronomy 4:29. And then I did Colossians 1:10. And then we're going to end with James 4:8a, the very first part of James 4:8. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. That's a sweet promise, right? You're not having to convince him. You're not having to twist his arm. It's not like a dating relationship where you're like, please date me, or please marry me, or please. No, he says, come to me, draw nigh to me, and I'm going to draw nigh to you. One of the studies we're going to talk about here in a minute is from this book called What Do I Know About My God? And this is Marty Collier. If you were here 6 years ago, this is the first workshop I did here at camp, and I kind of did an in-depth study of this book. So we're just going to do kind of the surface of it today. But Marty Collier is a camp director's wife in the Carolinas, the Wilds, and God kind of put it on her heart to start this study of the attributes of God. Who is my God? My God is. And so I'll explain it here in a minute. But in her book, she talks about this point, and this is what Marty says. These are her words. We don't know all the reasons that God wants us to know him, but he says he does. And that is actually the only reason we need. If we just trust him and discipline ourselves to study his word so that we can find out as much as we can about our God and his son Jesus, he will change us in many ways. Our part is to strive to know him and to allow the Holy Spirit to use our knowledge of him to affect our everyday lives. And I thought she wrote that out so simply of, God says I need to know him, I need to do it. And he says, if I know him, it's going to change my life, right? It's going to affect every aspect of my life. So, how do I change? I need to study God's word. Third point. My third and fourth point are a little longer, okay? So you might be like, wow, Emily's mowing through this. We're going to camp out on point three and point four here. Point three, why we as ladies should study God's word. Because we need to combat the devil's lies. We must combat the devil's lies. There is a spiritual warfare, right? If you're a believer, you're following Christ, the devil hasn't just said, all right, that's it. We're going to move on to somebody else. No, he's still attacking us. And every day when I wake up, I get to choose, am I going to live for God's kingdom today? Am I going to follow him? Or am I going to live for my kingdom, my little dynasty, my little world, follow my desires, my fleshly, my lust, all of that? I have to choose every day, multiple times a day, right? It's not always I wish it could just be in the morning. I'm going to choose to live for Jesus today, and that's it. No, it's throughout the day, right? So I need to combat the devil's lies. And the way to do that is to know God's word, to understand what truth is. John 8:31 through 32. Jesus is speaking here, and he says, if you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. God's truth gives us, it exposes what's sin, what is not sin, and he wants to give us victory over that sin, right? This is the truth. This is how we are to live our life. And the devil, he's really good at wanting to discourage us, to get us in bondage of sin, to kind of just feel like I'm stuck. This is it. This is where I'm at. And not realize, no, I can, because of Jesus, because of God, I can have victory over this. I don't have to live in this bondage, this defeatment. Hebrews 4:12 says, for the word of God is living and active. If you read in the KJV, it says quick and powerful, right? It's sharper than any two-edged sword, even penetrating as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. It's quick and powerful. It exposes things, right? Have you ever, it's what's supposed to be filtering our thoughts. It's what helps, as we have influences around us, is how we're supposed to just understand how to filter this. And when I think about this part, that it says that it penetrates as far as the division of soul, both spirit, joints, and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of my heart, of my mind, right? Have you ever been sitting in, maybe you're doing your devotions, or you're sitting in a service, and something is taught, something is presented to you, and you just kind of feel like it's a punch in the gut? It gets you, right? It's convicting. It just feels like it's, whew. When I was in college, I just graduated from college. I grew up in Wisconsin. I went to college in Wisconsin. I worked at a camp in Wisconsin. So Midwest, here we go. This has been different for me to live out here. I do love it now. But I was at a camp in Wisconsin, and I was a camp counselor. So doing lots of good things for Jesus, right? We're with the kids, and I'm hearing God's word every morning, every afternoon. We're doing devotions, and I'm going to services each night. So very entrenched in God's word for summer. It was a great summer. I loved it. Halfway through the summer, I was sitting in a session, and the speaker was talking about bitterness. And as I was thinking through this topic, thinking through some things, God brought a person to my mind, a name, someone I had not thought about in a couple years. And this name popped up into my head, and the first thing I thought is, huh, I wonder where he's at in life. You know what? If he's dead, I don't really care. That was my first thought. Isn't that awful? 21-year-old little Emily sitting in as a counselor with all these kids around me, that was my thought. And it punched me in the gut. Because I realized, whoa, something's wrong with my relationship with that person, right? And what was it? I had to sit, and again, I probably missed the rest of the sermon. I was probably sitting there peeling back the layers of why did I just have that thought? That's someone I haven't thought about in years. What in the world? And what it was, 4 years earlier, right as I was graduating from high school, I grew up in a pastor's home. My dad's a pastor, so he was a pastor since I was four. Same church, little country church, great people. I loved growing up as a pastor's kid. But there was a man in my church. His name was Morris. Morris was one of the cornerstones of our church. He helped start it. He was this older man that everybody respected, and he was one of the helpers. But as Morris got older, he started getting off in his thinking. He started getting up and saying, if we just obey the Ten Commandments, that's it. We don't have to worry about it. Like, just really off in some of his thinkings. And it got really ugly. Like, they had a church discipline him out. He went around and said things about my dad that wasn't true. It was just a really ugly situation. And as a kid, watching that, I try not to cry, I'm sorry. It was hard, right? And you're like, what in the world? What made this person turn on my dad, turn on our church? He was someone that we would spend time with, and now he's not even a part of our church body because his thinking, his thoughts have gone wrong. He's not following God's truth. And so this had all happened. I'd gone to college, and here I'm at the end of college thinking, I don't care what's going on in that guy's life. I'm okay if he's dead. Isn't that awful? And God convicted me. And I remember going back to my cabin that night. You kind of have to get through the day. You know, you're a counselor. You're getting everybody through. And I remember confessing my sin and just going, Lord, forgive me. I didn't even realize I was still bitter at him. You know, I didn't even realize that I had this issue with him. But I had to get it right. And I praise the Lord that I never said or did anything to him that I needed to ask for forgiveness. You know, there was never a moment that I said something sassy or said something disrespectful. But between me and the Lord, I dealt with that bitterness. And again, it was just this weird, I was like, wow, thank you, Lord. Thank you for convicting me of that. It was not a fun night of having to work through that. It was not, and in the world's eyes, I had every right to be mad at that man, right? But no, I needed to forgive him, and I needed to pray for him and ask God to change him, right? Because God can do that. And God was very kind to me. I've never seen Morris again, but I've seen his wife, and his wife is a very sweet lady. And a couple years ago, we were in Wisconsin, and her name's Mary, and she was just kind of stuck in it, the middle of it. You know, I don't think she agreed with where her husband was going, but she just kind of had to leave the church when he left too. And I ran into her. We were visiting. She was in the same area we were, and I remember going up and giving her a hug and saying hi, and it was a sweet time. And I was thinking later, if I was still bitter at Morris, I don't think that would have been a sweet. It would have been awkward because I would have been struggling. What do I do? What do I say? And she's a sweet lady. She was my Sunday school teacher. And God was just kind to kind of get that full circle moment of realizing we have to give these sins, these bitternesses, these issues over to God. And that's the better way to live life, right? Than to see people and get angry and get feisty about it. But God was very kind to me. But man, I remember that was just a punch in the gut when God brought that to my attention. But I'm thankful that he helps me deal with it and move on and grow in that area. Jen Wilkin is an author, and this is one of her books. It's called Women of the Word, and she does quite a few Bible studies for ladies. She does book studies like Book of Hebrews, Book of James. You know, she's very passionate about women knowing God's word. Understanding it, being able to teach it, being able to share. She's kind of used her whole ministry to plead for the case of biblical literacy in women. And literacy, that means a competence or knowledge in a specific area. Competency, not just, I hear the Bible, I know. No, being competent in our Bibles. And she made this statement that made me think. It says, not all contact with Scripture builds Bible literacy. Not all contact with Scripture builds Bible literacy. And let's think about that. Just because I'm around something doesn't mean I'm an expert, right? So my husband, his name is Craig. Some of you know him. He grew up in Kansas City, and he loves all things Kansas City sports. So the Chiefs, the Royals, Sporting KC, the soccer team, because he grew up in it, right? So his family were fans. He knows all the stats. He knows all the, you know, what years they won the Super Bowls, what years they lost, all of that, who played what, where, when. I've been part of that family for almost 10 years now. I've had to be in the Lawson family photos wearing a jersey from one of those teams, you know? I always pick the Royals because I look better in blue than in red, right? So I at least can make some choices with that. But just because I'm around it and my kids are now following them and we put the posters up, does that make me an expert? No, I could tell you little facts, but for me to actually become an expert in the area, oh man, I have to go back and read the articles of what years they won what, who was the coaches, watch the games, you know, all this film to make me an expert, and I'm not going to do it. I'm a Green Bay Packer fan, okay, again, so we're not going there. But let's think about this side. Just because I'm around something doesn't make me an expert. So just because I go to church and I sit in the pew every Sunday doesn't make me an expert in the Bible. Just because I teach a Sunday school lesson. Because what has to happen? I actually have to absorb and think and work through what I'm hearing, what I'm learning. And that was convicting to me because I know different seasons of life. Sometimes you're like, I just made it to church. Like, I'm here. I don't know what I'm, you know, when we had little kids, some of that stuff, we drive an hour to church. So sometimes it just feels like a journey, you know, to get there that we made it. But I need to engage my mind, engage my heart, and ask God, what do I need to learn today? What do you want to show me? And that was convicting to me to realize I have to, it's not just my pastor preaching to me. I have to engage and listen and learn. James 1:22 says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving our own selves. We can hear it all, right? We can nod, we can agree, that's great. But I need to be a doer. God says to do this, I need to do it. God says to change this, I need to change it. It's a little bit harder, right, than just hearing it. And then later in James chapter 1 in verses 23 and 25, it says, if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. It's like you wake up in the morning. I don't know about you, but I definitely need a little bit of work in the morning when I wake up. It would be like me waking up this morning, seeing what I look like. Oh, I have women's retreat this weekend. It's fine. I look great. And coming down without brushing my hair, without putting makeup on, without taking care of the zit, without brushing the teeth. You know, all these things that we do to primp and make ourselves ready to go. You guys would have seen me this morning and been like, what happened to her? What kind of night did she have, right? We all kind of notice and we giggle about it like that. That wouldn't be the norm. But the same thing, the Bible's saying here, it's like a man opening the Bible, looking at it, seeing the things he needs to change and going, it's fine. I'm just going to go out like this. No. We want, especially as women, we don't really do that, right? Have you ever, we don't really, out here in Newberry Springs, we don't really just run to the grocery store. Like, it's a trip, you know. But our joke is like, it's just Barstool Walmart. You know, like, if I at least have sweats and a t-shirt on, I'm like, right here. But, you know, sometimes you think, I'm just gonna squeeze out, and it doesn't matter what I look like, but you always run into somebody that you're like, oh, I look like a hot mess. Hi, yeah, I'm good to see you. You know, we know what we look like. So, same thing, as we prepare, as we read God's word, if we see something that needs to get fixed, we fix it. If it's a physical thing, same thing in our spiritual life. We need to fix it. We need to make a change. Jen Wilkin, the author of that book, here's a little bit something that she says. Bible literacy matters because it protects us from falling into error. Both the false teacher and the secular humanist rely on biblical ignorance for their messages to take root. And the modern church has proven fertile ground for those messages. Because we do not know our Bibles, we crumble at the most basic challenges to our worldviews. And sadly, that can be true, right? I'm not saying this is every church, this is every woman, but if we're getting pushed, right? We're getting hit hard. I don't think this is a bold statement to say we live in a godless society, right? They do not celebrate godliness. So we're getting attacked on all areas. Abortion, homosexuality, what does a family unit look like? Male, female, some of these things that we're like, these are basic. We're getting inundated. And if we don't know why, we would say, no, that's not right. Well, why is it not right? What does the Bible say? Understand God's truth. Understand his desire for us so that we don't crumble. This is Jen Wilkin speaking again. This is the last quote I'll have from her. When women grow increasingly lax in their pursuit of biblical literacy, everyone in their circle of influence is affected. Rather than acting as salt and light, we become bland contributions to the environments we inhabit and shape, indistinguishable from those who have never been changed from the gospel. So rather than acting as salt and light, we become bland contributions to the environment that we're in. That's a nice poster, right? Yeah. Be a bland contribution. No, that's not what we look for, right? We're supposed to be salt and light, but often we just kind of exist. We're not different. We look like the people around us. Our homes, churches, communities, and our whole country desperately need the influence of women who know why they believe what they believe, grounded in the Word of God. They desperately need the influence of women who love deeply and actively proclaim the God of the Bible. That's convicting, right? And we do as women, we have different circles of influence. If you have kids, man, you get to pour into them every day. They know everything about us, right? They know what sets mama off. They know what mama likes. They know when mama's having a good day, when mama's having a bad day, right? We get to pour into them. If you're married, you have a spouse, somebody that you get to invest in and love and do life with. If you have a job, you have coworkers. If you go to church, you have church members, all neighbors, all these people that just by being a woman who studies the Bible, knows the Bible, and lives it out, you're going to be salt and light. There's going to be a difference. So this thought of we have to understand God's word because the devil's attacking. He wants us to crumble. He wants us to believe the lies and not cross-reference things with the truth of God's word. And then our last point this morning, number 4, why women should study the Bible. We can trust God's word to be true. We can trust God's word to be true. As believers, it's all based on the Bible, right? Our salvation, our walk with God. I need to understand that I'm a sinner in need of a Savior, right? That's all laid out in the Bible. John MacArthur, he's a preacher here in Southern California. Most of you know who he is. He has one of his resources, a website, had a little article about the importance of studying the Bible, and he would have said, "The Bible is the only source of absolute divine authority. It will inform you of God's mind and will for your life." And we hear that a lot. What's God's will? What's God's will? We work with teenagers. We work with college kids. And that's a big question. What am I supposed to do? And unfortunately, the Bible doesn't just say in 2 Corinthians 3:18, you're supposed to go be a doctor, right? That's not how it works. But if we understand the principles and we follow and we take the next step, God says, follow my path. This is what I have for you. So if the Bible is the source of truth, if we really believe that, John 17:17 actually says, sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. It just says it right there. God's word is truth. So if I follow and obey the truth of God's Bible, there's a few things that are going to come my way. God's blessing. Luke 11:28. But he said, more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And this isn't the prosperity gospel, okay? This isn't me saying, if you follow God, everything's going to go great, right? That's not it. But he's saying, my way is the best way, right? This is the way. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. God's way is best. There's blessing when we follow God. There's going to be growth, right? Again, that concept of newborn babes. 1 Peter 2:2, as newborn babes desire the pure milk of the word, that they may grow thereby. We need to eat to grow. We need to read God's word to grow, to understand. It's the same idea of feeding ourselves, feasting, understanding what we need. There's going to be power if we follow this truth of God's word. Romans 1:16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. There's this boldness that comes when we speak God's truth. It's not Emily's opinions. This is what the Bible says. And it's actually very freeing because I'm just sharing what God's word says. I don't have to worry about adding my little tweaks to it. No, God's word says this. I can be bold in that. I can live in power and knowing that God's word is true. And then it's a guide. It's a guide to our life. Psalm 119:105, I've always liked this verse. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light into your path. How many of you needed a light to get back to your cabin last night? Or pulling out our cell phone flashlights, right? It's a guide. It helps us. And it's so funny that just a little bit of light can help us stay on the path, right? To not fall off the sidewalk, to not step in the hole. But God's word is a light. It's a path. It helps us. The last scripture passage we're going to look at this morning is 2 Timothy 3:16-17. 2 Timothy 3:16-17. And this is Paul speaking to Timothy, okay? And I'm going to read it here for you, and then we'll kind of pick through it. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. It's breathed out by God, and it's profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Pretty familiar passage. Paul is speaking to Timothy here. So Timothy is somebody that he's trained in the ministry, right? They've done life together. He's training him. And Paul is actually in prison while he's writing this to Timothy. So here he is, kind of trying to admonish this guy that's younger than him to just keep on keeping on, right? There's different things that are going on in the church that he's kind of trying to help him through. And here in chapter 3, he's basically telling him, you need to stay true to the doctrine of the Bible. You can't, there's false prophets out there. There's people that are saying this. You have to stay true to the Bible. If you study 2 Timothy in the beginning of chapter 3, he kind of goes through a list in verses 1 through 4, if you read it, of godlessness, people that are ungodly, right? He kind of lists all these things. This is what we don't want to be, right? This is not what we want in our life. And he even says in verse 5 that some of these people, they appear to be godly, but they're not, you know, that they don't have the true power of God's word. And then he goes into verses 14 and 15, the verses right before what I just read. And he goes, for you, Timothy, you need to continue in this. Continue. Firmly believe it. He said, you've been taught by me. You've been taught by your mom, Eunice. You've been taught by your grandma, Lois. You know, he's kind of just reaffirming, this is God's truth, and you've heard it, and you need to stay true to it. And so he reminds him of the importance of Scripture. So let's think through this. The Bible is inspired by God. It's breathed out. So we know that man wrote it, but it came from God, right? These aren't man's words. They are man written because God inspired him to do it. And so a couple words we're going to talk about. It's inerrant, it's infallible, and there's final authority. When we think about the Bible being inerrant, there's inerrancy there. It's free from error. There's not mistakes. I had to write a lot of papers growing up, English classes like that. I rarely got 100% on a paper, right? Those English teachers always find something wrong. God's word, there's nothing wrong. There's no mistake. There's, oh, that was a misquote. No, it is true. We don't have to worry about it not being true. It's infallible. This means that it is unfailing in its purpose. It never fails. It's always effective. That's what helped my brain click. It's always effective. There's things that we have that aren't always effective, right? Some days it works. Some days it doesn't work. Sometimes my dishwasher's not working right. It's not effective. What's going on? Oh, there's a clog. You know, God's word isn't like that. There's not good days and bad days. It's always effective. And then there's a final authority there. The Bible carries the right to prescribe beliefs and actions. It is the supreme authority. That's sobering, right? I mean, it just feels like, whoo, but it's God's word. And so if it says it, it's true. In 2 Timothy 3:16 through 17, we see a list now of what is God's word profitable for. It's profitable for doctrine, which means teaching. It's important to have sound teaching. So again, we take it very serious here at Ironwood of who comes in and speaks, right? Because we don't just want it to be a lady up here telling testimonies and we're all crying and getting emotional and that's great. And then we leave and we're like, well, we never even read God's word. It needs to be sound. It needs to be based on God's word. It's not just someone's opinion. It's profitable for reproof, which has to do with the thought of rebuking, to be rebuked. It exposes the errors of false teachers and false beliefs. This is being taught. It is wrong because God's word says this. It's exposing the false teaching. It shows failures. It shows sin. I liked how Reba said last night that sin is just never pretty, right? It's just there's nothing good about it. But sometimes we get entrapped in it and we don't even see that we're in it. And once it's realized, if we're being rebuked by the scripture, we need to listen. It's profitable for correction, which you're like, well, that's kind of like reproof. It is, but the correction has to do more with the restoring of the proper doctrine. You're not just saying you're wrong. This is what's right. We're correcting. We're instructing the right beliefs, the right doctrine in our relationship with God. How does this affect our relationship with God? There's a restoration involved in that correction. Instruction in righteousness. This has to do with how do we train and teach to live a righteous life, to becoming more like Christ. And again, that can feel overwhelming. I will never be like Christ 100% while I'm here on this earth, right? But it's a fight. It's a battle. It's every day I want to be more like Christ than I was yesterday, right? And it's a continual decision to live like Christ, to live for his kingdom, not my own. And then we go into that last verse, verse 17. So it gives us this nice little list, nice little tidy list of what it's profitable for. And then it says, so that the man of God, a believer, might be perfect. Again, I wish this meant no more sin, no more problems. But it's not. It just means complete. And this thought of you are actually spiritually prepared for anything that happens here on this earth. You are spiritually prepared. You're perfectly ready for the battles that are going to come. Because they come, right? I'm only 34, but I've had a few battles in my life, and I know there's more coming, right? Trials, loss, sickness, things that you don't even see coming. Sometimes you can prep, right? Sometimes God's kind and gives us a little prep. This is coming, and we can start, okay, I'm going to batten down the hatches. And other times, bam, you get hit in the face, and you just got to get up. What am I going to do? Okay, I am perfectly equipped for this. God has given me what I need to get through this. Thoroughly furnished, the same idea of I'm equipped, I'm ready. Think of the armor of God, right? He gives us all these tools to live this life. Perfect, thoroughly furnished to every good work. I love that thought of God has given us good work here on this earth to do. So many things that we get to do to live for Jesus. Whether, again, that's in our church, that's in our home, that's at our job, that's in our community. There's an ability to live like Christ and to encourage the people around us to live like Christ too, to be a good testimony to them. So it sets us on a path of spiritual maturity, and it helps us get ready for those storms of life that are coming, because they're coming. And some of you might be in them right now. We don't know, right? I know there's enough ladies here that we're all going through something, and God's word is helping us get through that. To think through the thought that there's good works for us to do, for us to live. I'm just going to read you a little list about what God's word is. Again, this is from John MacArthur's website, Grace to You. The Bible is infallible in its totality, all of it. The Bible is inerrant in all its parts. The Bible is complete. The Bible is authoritative and final. It is totally sufficient for all your needs, and it accomplishes what it promises. That's a sweet thing, right? The promises are going to come. How many of us have had a promise broken? Right? I've broken promises, right? My kids will remind me, Mom, you said I did. I'm sorry, right? Whether we purposely break them or not, we're human. Promises break. God's word, he's not going to change his mind. Things aren't going to change. So we can rest in that. Charles Spurgeon said, nobody ever outgrows scripture. The book widens and deepens with our years. You don't outgrow it. You never become a master. And I think when we think about this, it can be overwhelming, right? You're like, well, my pastor and the theologians, those are the guys that really dig deep, right? We can dig deep too. And it doesn't mean you're ever going to write a commentary on something. That's okay. But you can dig deep and understand God's word. And it's all, the more you know it, it's going to get wider. It's going to get deeper. There's going to be layers. And it's a beautiful book to study. And it's from God. And some of you ladies are faithful studiers of your word. And I'm just here to cheer you on. You're running your race, and I have my sign and my Gatorade, and I'm saying, keep going. You're doing great. You're doing great. Keep it up. And some of you are like, Emily, I don't even walk a mile. How am I supposed to run this little race? Okay, here's the shoes you need to buy. Here's the supplements you need to take. Here's the training. I want to give you some tools today to help you start studying your Bible. And maybe some of you are like, Emily, I normally do this, but I'm in a weird rut right now, and I have not been doing it. Okay, get off the couch. Let's go. You have all the stuff. Let's get moving. Let's study God's word together. So, and then one last thought before we jump into the actual resources that we'll talk through here. I think a lot of times we have the desire to study God's word, but there's distractors, right? There's things that cause us. So let's think through some of these things. What are some things, this will be interactive. What are some things that cause you to maybe not study your Bible? It's just, yes, too busy. Yeah. Yeah, our schedule. We all have busy lives, things going on. TV, right? No, sometimes I'd rather just do this, right? It's something. It's my regular show. These are what I got to turn on. Yep. Yes. Family needs, right? Good things, right? Things of, oh, I need to do this thing, but we haven't carved out time to still have with God. Being lazy, I know. And then Facebook, right? We get lost in the scroll. We get lost in conversations with people. And then sometimes we're just plain lazy, right? We don't want to do it. Anything else? Schedule, yep. Yeah, hobbies, activities, things we would just prefer to do with that time. And Church, right, again, our church, we've been kind of giggling. So, like, you know, COVID happened, everything stopped, and then things have slowly been adding on. We're back in full tilt, right? I mean, we can look at our schedules sometimes. Monday's deacons meeting. Tuesday, I have Women of the Word Bible study. Wednesday, we have Awana youth group. And then the rest of the time, we're doing camp, you know, and you're thankful that those schedules have built. But we can be really busy with church things, right? So, a couple of encouragements to you. Identify these distractors in your life. Figure out what they are. And then, you gotta make a plan, right? So if you have a spouse, you might have to tell your spouse, hey, I really want to be able to do my devotions at this time tomorrow. Is there any way you could help with the kids? Or is there any way, have that open line of communication. I'm pretty sure your spouse is going to be happy to help you read your Bible, right? For the most part, that's what most of us have, a spouse that loves God or someone that just says, no, that's great for you. I don't know everyone's, but most spouses would be okay with helping you figure out a time. If you have little kids, sometimes you have to train your kids that this is mom's time in the Word. You know, so with my kids, I have a 4 and 6-year-old. We put an alarm clock in their room, and they cannot come out until they see a 7. 7 has to be there first, and then they can come out. Because they can be up at 6, 6:30. I have one early riser, and it's a lot harder for me to do devotions in the morning when they're around. So try to train your kids. Try to help them understand. And maybe you have to have a season where you study God's word with interruptions, right? You just know, I'm going to start. Oh, baby needs to get changed. Oh, my neighbor popped in. Take care of it. Come back. Sometimes I think we have this idea that it has to be this perfect comfy chair, cozy fire, cup of coffee. And those are great, but we rarely get them every morning, right? And so just understanding, I got to get what I can take. I'm going to go at it hard. If I get interrupted, I'm going to go back to it and kind of change our mindset of, I think some people are like, well, it's ruined. I'm done. You know, I got 2 minutes and I got interrupted and that was it for the day. Of being able to change our mindset and go back to it. And then sometimes we have to cut things out. Sometimes it is a TV show. I added in my notes. Sometimes TV shows, things I read, social media, hobbies I have. I have to adjust my schedule or say no to something. And the big thing it comes down to is just being willing to make a sacrifice to make it a priority. Sometimes it means getting up earlier. Sometimes it means staying up later. I love my sleep. I really do. But for me personally, weird season of life, I don't feel like I can find the same time every day, but I need to think before I go to bed. I try to have this habit. When can I read my Bible tomorrow? I think through my day. Do I need to get up early and do it? Do I have time in the afternoon? Sometimes I have time that it's just me and my daughter at my house for an hour and I can put her down for a nap. She's 4, you know, a little less needy, and I can do it then. But I have to if I don't plan ahead, I get in the middle of my day and I go, oh man, I haven't done this yet. And my night from here till 10, I'm busy. So then I need to stay up late. To come up with a plan, make those sacrifices. So pick a plan and stick to it. Develop a routine. So try to find what works for you. And those routines change in different seasons of life. And one last thought is to get accountability. And I know that can sound scary, an accountability partner. It could be a friend. It could be your spouse. Could be one of your kids, maybe a good relationship with one of your kids as they get older, of just check in with me, you know? And you know you. You know what you need. So be honest of how often you want to just say, can you check and see how I'm doing? Can you ask what I'm learning in God's word? And we can have those conversations. And get a real accountability partner. Don't get one that's like, it's fine that you didn't read your Bible 4 times next week. That is not a good accountability partner. No, not that one. They can be a friend, but not find that person that's actually going to be honest and helpful. And yes, things happen. Life happens, but they still need to, okay, I get that you had a kid up all night and they were thrown up and you're dealing with them, but can you read your Bible later today? Like, can you make it happen? What can I do to help you? Find those people in your life that are going to push you and help you be accountable to reading God's word. And I think we assume it, but we need to do it, is pray and ask God to help us. Again, I can be around God's word, but not absorb it. So I'm praying. I'm saying, Lord, help me put the distractors away. Help me put my phone away. I know for me personally, too, reading off of my phone for my Bible reading isn't always good because if I don't turn off everything else, I get notifications, I get things. So get my physical copy of my Bible out, read it, and pray and ask God to help me grow because he wants me to grow and to get to know him. So I'm going to repeat these 4 points one more time. Why should I as a woman study God's Bible? Number one, we are commanded in God's word to study God's word. God wants us to know him. We need to combat the devil's lies. There's a spiritual battle going on there. And then our last point here is we can trust God's word to be true. So that's what we want to live off of. That's what we want. I want to live for God's kingdom and not my own. Okay, we are going to jump into four different Bible studies that I just want to give to you as a resource. And you might say, hey, that might work for me. That might click. That might be kind of the magic juice right there that helps me keep going on a pattern. And for some of you, it might just be a resource, something you can share with somebody else. Maybe you work with teens, college kids. This is a good study for you to do. So the first one I'm going to do, let's see what time we have here. I think I have time to... I'll just talk about them, and then on your way out, they're all right on the table there. You can grab one of each. So the very first one is called the Seven Arrows of Bible Reading. If you came to the women's retreat in the spring, we actually handed these out to everybody as they left. And I was introduced to this a year ago, and I was like, that is really, it's really nifty. Do we say nifty? I don't know. That is a nifty way to study God's Bible. And if you are visual, this is very helpful. And so basically, there's a church that developed this plan, and it's called the Seven Arrows of Bible Reading. And it just has the different little patterns here. So there's a circular pattern, which means, what does this passage say? Like the complete thought. And then you draw an arrow to the side. What does this passage mean to the original audience? And then you draw an arrow up. What does this passage tell us about God? Then you draw an arrow down. What does this passage tell us about man? Then you draw an arrow the other direction. What does this passage demand of me? And then you draw an arrow going both directions, and it says, how does this passage change the way I relate to people? So the arrow going both ways. And then the last one's kind of a swoop going up, and it goes, what does this passage prompt me to pray to God? So my prayers to God. And so we made them in little bookmark form, so you can just tuck it in your bookmark. And if you look up Seven Arrows of Bible Reading, there's more information on the web. You know, so if you want to kind of get deeper questions and figure out kind of, there's even Bible studies that you can buy that have these thoughts and questions. But I'm like, man, this is an easy, throw it in my Bible, get a notebook, read the passage, ask these questions, do the visuals, and you're going to get to the point where you don't even need to read. You know, you're going to know this is what this arrow means. And so this was, I feel like, a really handy way to read God's Word. The next one we're going to talk about here is just reading through the Bible in a year. And I feel like if you're a checklist person and like the nice little checklist, this is for you, right? And so this is a very simple one that I found. I liked this one because it didn't have a January 1st date. It just has week one. You know, when do I start it? You can start it next week. If you like cute reading plans, Etsy has a whole bunch. I made myself not spend $4 on a cute reading plan. But you can find really cute ones. There's ones that have, like, 5 days a week, and so if you're doing something else with church or something, it's a Monday through Friday or a five-day plan, and you can still get through the Bible in 1 year by reading that, you know, following the little checklist, and then you can do something else. This one I liked because it had the different weeks, and then it has seven, but it has, you could do an epistle, and the next day you read from the law, and the next day you read history, and then you read Psalms, poetry, prophecy, gospel. So you're just kind of going back and forth, and this is a plan that in 1 year, if you follow it, you can get through the Bible in a year, and that's pretty awesome. So sometimes we get to the point where we're just like, I just need to absorb more of God's Word. I need to understand more of the Bible and how it's laid out. There's ones that are chronological. So again, this just gives you an idea, but you can go on the website, you can go on the internet and look up Bible plans for a year, and there's a whole bunch of free ones, and then again, you can pay like $4 for really cute ones. If that will encourage you to do it, though, pay the $4, right? Totally worth it. The next one we're going to talk about, it's called the Abide Method. And so it's called the Abide Method. And it basically starts with this thought, okay, because God is this, how does it affect my life? And so they go through all these questions. This comes from Risen Motherhood is a ministry. Two moms, their sister-in-laws, have started. And it's all of how do I live the gospel out every day in the mundaneness of motherhood? Kind of like that's, as a mother, I can live the gospel every day. And there's different seasons of motherhood. So they just kind of walk through all of that. But they came up with this Bible study to help moms, to help women go through this. And so they have kind of a couple different taglines to help you think through. So this is a 4-page, it's front and back, front and back. But basically, it breaks down into, there's an observation section, there's an interpretation section, an application, and then there's a prayer time. And so the rest of this handout, it breaks down what that means. If I'm in the observation, what does the text say? And they give you all these different things to look for. Look for a keyword, look for times and locations, look for transition words. And then the interpretation, what does the text mean? And they give you all these different thoughts, things that help your brain kind of train. I need to look for these things, because sometimes we can just read and then we go, what do I do with this? This is helping train your mind. Application, how does the text change me? How has reading this today affected something I've thought or something I've done? How does it what does it say about God? You know, so going through all of that. And then I like this thought. Again, you can go online and find some more things about this study. But as you do this, they really push, there are major themes in the Bible that you're going to see over and over and over again. And if you're looking for them, you're going to find them. So you're going to see gospel truths. You're going to see the Great Commission, the Great Commandment, the church, types, different attributes of who God is. And so they helped kind of train your brain as I'm doing this study, these four things, this is what I'm going to do. And so to get started, they basically just say you need your Bible, you need a worksheet, you need pens, and then if you like to cross-reference things, you know, if there's anything that you like cross-reference, and then you go through it. And you can do this as one person, you know, you make your little section every day, or it could be a group study. You know, as a group, we're going to, these 4 points, we're going to do this passage this week, we're going to meet next week, and we're going to talk about what did we observe, what did we interpret, what did we apply, and then let's pray and ask God to change us through these things. So this is one I have not personally done. I've kind of been introduced to this probably in the last couple of months, but I have friends that have done it, and I like where it's going. You know, I'm looking at it going, that could be really handy just to help outline how do I study my Bible. And then the last one, this is the one I'm probably the most familiar with of the four that I'm handing out, is the what do I know about my God? And so Marty Collier, again, wrote this. She started a Bible study years ago, personal, of going, okay, I'm going to read through the Psalms, and every time I see an attribute of God, I'm going to write it down. And so there's different ways to do this. You can get a notebook. This is the notebook I started off with right out of college. And or I know people that like to get recipe box with 3x5 cards, you know, so you can have the ABCD, you know, kind of alphabetize. And then my God is, and you put the reference down. So how she, I love that she's like, you can make copies of these, you can hand it out, but she kind of gives you a cheat sheet to start off with of, okay, if you just want to start with my God is something and look up the references, this is the way to do it. So my God is able, and there's a bunch of references. My God is all-knowing, a bunch of references. So she gives you front and back, and then there's a little bit of a introduction to who Marty is, where how God burdened her for this study. And so then there's a little bit of a, it shows you, okay, how would this look if I did this? I can write the date, the passage, my God is eternal. I write out the verse, and I found that writing out the verse is very important. So whether you do it in notebook form or in card form, I use this as my Bible memory when I was going through this. Like, okay, if I'm studying these verses, I should memorize them. My God is able. What is the verse that goes with that? And then you write out, what does that mean? If my God is able, kind of what we're doing in the prayer room, if you've gone to the prayer room, of how does that affect me today? What am I learning about who God is? How can I trust him? What promise is he fulfilling? And you build a notebook. You build a notebook that whether you alphabetize, the nice thing is you just got to do what works for you, right? So somebody else might look at your notebook and be like, that is a hot mess. How do you go? I know where everything is, okay? You know, I have it all tucked, and I add, and you're going to add topics as you go on. My God doesn't want me to be angry. You know, that's not, you think, well, that's not, no, that's God, you know, how does he want me to deal with some of these things? So Marty will say, she's done this for years. She continues to add to her notebook. She continues to understand who God is. And she was our women's retreat speaker, I think 2 years ago here. I got to meet her for the first time. And we were talking about this study. And she said, my notebook is one of my most treasured possessions. You know, like if there's a fire, I'm grabbing my notebook, you know, because it's just, she's learned so much about who God is. And she's a very humble lady. She also wrote this book. So you don't need to have this book, but I feel like it's helpful. And then she goes through and just kind of helps you get started. And so I'll just read kind of what this book covers. But again, you can take this home, these 4 pages, go buy a notebook, go buy 3x5 cards, and start this study. And you have the tools to do it. But she kind of just, again, tells you, why do we need to get to know God? She encourages you that in that area. And then she gives a couple of insights of what she studies. So how do I do my notebook? How important is my thinking, right? Because we're trying to change our thinking here, understanding truth. And then the whole second part of the book is, my God, she gives topics, and then she talks about how learning this topic about God changed her life. So my God hates pride. So she explains, okay, when I was studying this passage, God showed me this. And it's just, it's a really easy read. It's helpful to be like, okay, no, that's right, and this is how it changed her life. I have areas. My God hates pride. My God is my father. My God cares. My God is the creator. My God is in control. My God is trustworthy and wants me to trust him. My God guides and leads. My God is my shepherd. My God doesn't want me to be afraid. My God wants me to be thankful and to praise him. My God is the judge. My God wants me to love and serve others. My God is the counselor. My God is with me. My God is God. the end, not really, is how she ends it. Because then you go out and do it. So this book, I think, is around $12 on Amazon. If you want to look it up, buy it. I give these away for high school graduation gifts to high school girls. I'm going, here's a great Bible study option, but just another way to study God's word. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as the Spirit of the Lord." Observe it, interpret it, apply it, pray for God to help us. Jen Wilkins says, "Let's be women who know why they believe what they believe, grounded in the Word of God. The world desperately needs the influence of women who love deeply and actively proclaim the God of the Bible." So I hope this has been encouragement today. I don't want you to leave going, "I'm the worst, I need to do better." If you need to do better, I do hope you feel like, okay, I need to do better. But I really want to cheer you on. God's Word has the answers. If we can be women that are salt and light, understand God's Word, we can change eternity, right? For God's kingdom, we can help point people to Christ. So let's pray. Please be sure to grab a resource as you head out. I'll hang out for a little bit if you have any questions. But let's pray, and lunch is in half an hour. Lord, thank you for these ladies. Thank you for the time they put aside just to hear more about studying your word, Lord. And I just pray that in the world we live, Lord, the spiritual climate isn't always great, Lord. And I pray that we will be the ones that will continue to actively proclaim who you are, to understand your word, Lord, to testify who you are to those around us. And I just pray that we'll continue on. For those that maybe don't have good habits in their Bible study, I pray today has been encouraging and helpful to them, that they can go home and evaluate how to study your word every day. And for those that are faithful, Lord, I just pray that they will continue their sweet relationship with you, Lord, and continue to understand and know who you are, and that their study of you will widen and deepen, Lord. And we're just so thankful for the gift of your word. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Thanks for coming, ladies. We'll see you at lunch.